At the heart of the hyperconverged infrastructure is vSAN. And simply put, you know, vSAN has been the engine that's just been moving rapidly to take over the entire integration of compute and storage and expand to more and more areas. We have incredible momentum. Over 15,000 customers for vSAN today. And for those of you who joined us, we say thank you for what you have done with this product today. Really amazing. You know, with 50% of the global 2,000 using it, you know, VMware, vSAN, VxRail are clearly becoming the standard for how hyperconverged is done in the industry. Our cloud partner programs, over 500 cloud partners are using, you know, vSAN in their solution. You know, and finally, the largest in HCI software revenue. Simply put, vSAN is the software-defined storage technology of choice for the industry. vSAN. Hyperconverged. vSAN. Killer technology.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're gonna learn today.
Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeed up and ready because it's gonna be a great day.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Oh yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 90. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and joining me once again is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, sir?
Pretty good. Feeling rested. Recovered from VMworld, so.
Oh, nice. Good for you. I had no time to recover for VMworld because I've been in panic mode over here in North Carolina. Everybody's running around like the world is about to end.
Hurricane Florence is upon us, and so...
Yeah, so I spent the majority of my morning this morning waiting online at Costco, wrapped around the parking lot, just to get a couple of bottles of water and some batteries.
But what about beef jerky? You did get beef jerky, right?
You can't go to Costco and not get beef jerky. Come on now.
Well, I mean, I'm just going to say, like, if you're going to hold out for a hurricane... Did my wife ever tell you what I left her when I left for VMworld not that long ago this time last year? I left her with Gatorade, Twinkies, beef jerky, and a knife.
And a knife. Good man.
And like $200 or $300 in cash. And I was like, hey, I couldn't make it to the grocery store. The line was awful. So I just went to the gas station instead. I think honestly it worked for her. So that would be my survival kit for you.
I like it. All right, yeah. You should write that down somewhere. John's Hurricane Survival Kit. Beef jerky and a knife. Awesome. Well, listen, we've got a great guest this week. We have welcomed one of our teammates, Mr. Pete Keeler. He's been on the podcast before. He's a performance nerd, and I say that with the greatest of love for this gentleman and appreciation. Pete Keeler, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you, Pete, and thank you, John. Pete, I have to say, actually, it's good to see that you're all safe and sound right now and that you survived the wild trip to Costco and making sure that you're ready for the hurricane. So.
Yeah. I'm all prepared. I will say this one more thing, which was kind of funny. I was the second to last person to get water before they ran out. And so I had all the cases of water in my cart and I was walking to the register and all the people in line that didn't get water, man, it was like, No eye contact. Just keep looking. Just keep moving.
Pete, before we get to the actual topic, I have one request of you. Can I get you making some type of kind of statement you made earlier of like, it's just rain or it's not that big of a deal? And I need that on the recording that I have. So that way, when for the next 3 weeks we're podcasting without you wondering where the hell Pete is, I can just play that.
Yeah, exactly. It's just rain, John. It's no big deal. Anyway, moving along. Listen, we've got better things to talk about than hurricanes. Last week when we were at VMworld, they made an announcement for the latest release of vSAN, which is vSAN 6.7 Update 1. John, you and I had a great session on that, and I'll leave a link to that on the show notes. But I wanted to bring on one of our own, Mr. Pete Keeler, to talk about some of the new features. And so let's just cherry pick a few of these features that came out, and let's talk about them one by one. We've got a couple of minutes. I'll start. Pete, why don't you start telling us about some of the new enhancements to VUM? As we all know, VUM is integrated into vSAN, but I know there has been some improvements to that. So why don't you share what's new with VUM and vSAN?
Yeah, Pete, one of the improvements that we made here in vSAN 6.7 Update 1 is we've moved a lot of the updating functionality that had previously resided within the vCenter UI, but underneath the vSAN section. We've moved that all underneath VUM now. So it makes much more sense for the virtualization administrator who just simply wants to update their environment, knowing that they can update not only the hypervisor itself, but any firmware that may be related to their storage controllers and the respective drivers. So sort of that single-stop shopping for updating is something that we've introduced into 6.7 Update 1, and it should make everybody's experience way easier when they're looking at how do we update and when should we update and what are the steps to actually update.
But how does that differ from what we already had in 6.7?
So in 6.7, vSAN was able to be updated via VUM, but it didn't have any awareness with respect to the firmware updates for the various storage controllers that we support. And now that has been moved over into VUM so that it's understanding not only of the version of vSAN that you would like to go up to, but we'll be able to correlate that back to the version catalog, then tie that back over to the HCL, so that now it can systematically work through the process of updating the firmware, updating the drivers, and then move through the installation process and the upgrade process. One of the neat things about this too is that it's going to be able to see if there is an issue during that update process of some of that firmware. And if it sees that there's an issue, that it's going to be able to hold off and it's going to retain that one host and it's going to leave it in maintenance mode so that that update process doesn't cascade throughout the rest of the cluster and you can remediate it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, VUM's always been an easy button, you know, mash remediate all, you know, mash enter a bunch of times, go make a sandwich, come back. You got your cluster updated. But some other things I like here is this not being in two places is it's you can do a bit more with one reboot because now you've got the drivers and all of that being shot down in one shot. Combined also with the quick boot functionality that came in 6.7, you're just getting a lot faster lifecycle management. And this isn't two discrete systems. You've got the full automated logic and DRS host evacuation integration that VUM's got. Well, one other thing I noticed is also when you're tracking the health on releases, you've got visibility to see that, yes, my current version is supported now, but also the next version is out there and there is a new validated version. So before you just kind of got a, you know, red or green, and you've got a little more nuanced, it looks like, showing up on the firmware and the health UI.
Oh, yeah. I also noticed, Pete, on this version that you now have the ability to do your updates without internet connectivity, right?
Yes, we do. And I totally forgot about that.
I mean, that's a big thing. I think that's a huge, that was a whole portion of our customer base that basically could not use this before, right?
Yeah, so that's one of the things we've known that we have a lot of customers that by virtue of you know, various regulatory requirements that they may be limited not only in the internet or the internet.
The internet, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah.
The internet's where I get my packages from.
Oh.
By the way, I'm going to leave that one on. Go ahead.
Okay. So yeah, we can have offline updating. And this is really exciting for a number of our customers, mostly because they've been limited due to regulatory requirements or other business objectives that prevent them from simply being connected or having their environment connected for these automatic updates. So being able to update these systems offline, as well as being able to support manufacturer ISOs, the custom ISOs for their respective servers,
oh, yeah,
is also a huge advantage for them in making this process certainly a lot smoother for them.
Yeah, you just get the ISOs yourself, and then you can upload them to your offline environment, and then you're up and running, you're patched, but you don't have to worry about, you know, if your environment doesn't allow you to get to the internet, you can still be current. That's key. Cool. Well, John, another one that came out that I thought got a lot of attention in our session was the updates to the quick install. Easy install?
Easy install, which is the process of bootstrapping a cluster,
yep,
to basically get your vCSA, your vCenter server appliance online. But, you know, okay, you've got a vCSA, now what? You know, I need to add hosts, I got all these other things. And previously we had Configuration Assistant, which was in the Flash UI, and that had some workflows to automate some of the setup, the VDS, the networking, but they were kind of separate workflows. They weren't tied into one logical path. And also they were in the Flash UI, which everybody hates Flash. So the new quick process is actually a lot better. It's in the HTML5, and it's got a really cool workflow of one, establishing your core cluster services, two, establishing what hosts need to be in that cluster, and then three, configuring those. And this goes into all kinds of little gritty nitty detail that I love. You can, it'll configure time, you know, NTP on all the hosts so they don't drift. It runs a 50 point health check on the host. It checks drivers and firmwares. It gets you in a position to automate a hell of a lot of clicking, but also get a cluster ready for production.
All right. Well, Pete, tell me what the difference is between Easy Install, which we already knew about, and now Quick Start.
Yeah. So Easy Install, just as John mentioned, is really focused on the process of initially building up a vCenter cluster in a greenfield environment. So the initial bootstrapping of a vCenter server appliance on a single host and building that vCenter cluster from that point forward. What Quick Start really focuses on is allowing you to create and extend a cluster by adding those additional hosts right within vCenter and do so in this very fluid workflow that makes sense, that's all in one spot, that guides you in a very systematic way in order to achieve the desired result. I think one of the neat things and something that all of us in technical marketing noticed when we first had an opportunity to use this was just how nice it was. I mean, we didn't realize maybe how much effort there was on that part. And so once we were introduced to this feature sometime back, it was really a welcome feature for all of us.
I just like it that it gets all the little settings on hosts and make sure that everything's consistent, because that's something that all it takes is, you know, you add one host later and you forget to make one setting and you're going to have a bad day.
Yeah, I love the way you can add as many hosts as you need to, and then it'll take all the credentials and you don't have to repeat the process manually. It's all in there. You just add as many hosts as you want. It'll put the credentials in for you and it'll do all the settings. And so you don't have to sit there and do that individually for every host that you join to your cluster.
Yeah, Pete's really lazy having to type the root password over and over again. Even copying it, that's too much. He demanded a checkbox that he could check and only do things once.
Yeah, I just call William Lamb and say, hey, write a script for this for me, please. Now I don't have to bother William because it's already built into vSAN.
So it's worth noting also, Pete, that this was the feature that brings the HTML5 UI up to full feature parity from the legacy Flex client. And in fact, it's actually at 120% full feature parity, because now all of these new features that only exist in the new HTML5 UI and are no longer in the legacy Flex client. So there's really no need to use the old Flex client anymore.
And looking around, there's a lot of other things that have kind of crept into the HTML5 client. I saw the support performance views. Looks like that's going to take over where vCN Observer would have been used before.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I'm sure the good folks in GSS are really looking forward to. vCN Observer, you know, was something that has been used within our support team for quite some time, as it serves a really specific purpose. It allows them to be able to attain highly detailed information with very high sampling rates so that they can properly diagnose various performance issues that a customer may be running into. What these new graphs show within the native vCenter client is that these are purpose-built for GSS that serve as a replacement for these various graphs found in vCN Observer. Ultimately, for our customers, it allows them to be able to diagnose issues much more quickly so that they don't have to go through the process of running vCN Observer, maybe sending some logs along with it in order to see what's going on.
Yeah, I saw that, Pete. I also saw there was a checkbox for network diagnostic mode. Is that part of this? And how does that work?
Yeah, so what network diagnostic mode does is that it runs for a fixed period of time, running at an extremely high sampling rate, and it's going to look for all of the respective metrics with regards to anything and everything network related. And this is going to give that visibility that GSS needs, especially for any sort of HCI environment like vSAN, because we're so dependent on that east-west traffic that goes back and forth between the respective servers living in a vSAN cluster.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a critical piece, and I'm looking forward to seeing how helpful it's going to be for them and ultimately for our customers.
Yeah, so this is very interesting. The only part, when I first saw this, I was a little confused because I was already aware of vSAN Support Insight, and I want to talk about that a little bit. So maybe, I guess the next thing would be, maybe we can explain a little bit of what vSAN Support Insight is and then talk about if there is any overlap in this and how the two are different. So let's start with that. Like, so vSAN Support Insight is this ability for GSS using the CEIP data that's being collected in advance to analyze that data and then help expedite the troubleshooting process or the time to resolution when there is an issue. So you call support and you've got an issue with your cluster. They've already got all your logs. They've already been obfuscated. So the data is anonymized and the GSS can actually get to troubleshooting without waiting for the time consuming process of getting all the log bundles uploaded. But it seems like a lot of the diagnostics information that we just talked about is already available. So is this something that benefits everybody, or should everybody still use vSAN Support Insight as well?
Yeah, so they do support, while they complement each other, they do serve two very specific purposes. vSAN Support Insight will be able to collect all different types of telemetry data and phone that data home for GSS to be able to interpret. But we do that at sort of a fixed interval, and it's running at sampling rates that are lower than what GSS may actually need to resolve issues in real time.
Uh-huh.
So that's where this other feature comes into play, where they're able to take highly detailed, highly granular information and look at it in real time, and all through using it through the vCenter UI instead of spinning up vSAN Observer and looking through the system in that manner.
Now that makes sense. I got it. Well, in that same vein of showing more information to GSS, but there's also inside of vSAN the ability to see more about your own cluster capacity, right? I know there's a bunch of new dashboards, some new information about seeing what you actually are consuming in your cluster.
Yeah, this one is something I'm really excited about in that everybody is always has cluster capacity top of mind as far as the overall storage capacity of anything in any infrastructure. And vSAN had always had that, but the user never had any sort of historical context in which what was the capacity usage yesterday or last week or even last month. And so with 6.7 update 1, we've introduced the ability for the user to see capacity usage from a historical perspective. And so they can look at this data now that goes back for a full 90 days, and they'll be able to look at overall cluster usage as well as the changes that may occur in deduplication and compression ratios. Also really, really important. So now they'll be able to take a look and see what sort of patterns are occurring within their environment. Now, one of the questions that came up and one that I had certainly at VMworld was, now that we have this information right within vCenter, why might somebody still need that information within vRealize Operations? That was previously something that solution offered a lot of visibility for. The historical reports for cluster capacity usage is really limited in the sense that within vSAN, it's going to be limited to about 90 days. While vRealize Operations, you have the ability to really look at a longer period of time, so you can really better understand the trending that may occur in an environment. But from an ease of use perspective, it is right there ready for the user.
So one thing that was actually missing from the Flex client was storage capacity trending. This is even outside of vSAN. There was not, and this was actually a functionality if you go back to the old, you know, Windows only C# client, is that actually was a thing that would, it would track usage over time. It would track provision. It would track allocations.
Yeah, that's right.
It was all broken down. This actually has been a feature request of mine, a kind of pet peeve of like, hey, let's bring back that visibility. So I'm definitely glad to see it's here.
Yeah. And John, on that, you know, one of the things that we've certainly been making some effort here within technical marketing is helping people understand that when they make storage policy changes, that can impact the overall storage capacity of their vSAN cluster. And so having this ability to see rather than a single point in time, but having that context and understanding that, hey, at 7 a.m. yesterday, they made a large number of changes to their storage policies, and this is what the impact was on their environment, is really important.
Oh, yeah. Also, I like the fact that it'll also give you what if information. So if, in fact, you know, forget about historical, what if I want to now change a policy from RAID 1 to RAID 5 or whatever, it'll actually give you that what if information and say, by doing this, you are now going to be consuming X amount of space. So I like the fact that it shows you the historical, it shows you the current, but also lets you know what's going to happen should you make the changes that you're looking into. All right, well, John, we cannot have a podcast about vSAN 6.7 Update 1 without talking about UNMAV, right?
Oh, you said the trap word. You said my trap word. I thought we were going to do a whole like 4-part podcast series about UNMAV.
We need to do that. We'll invite Cody. You know, we'll have Jason come on, and we'll really dive deep on UNMAV. But let's just talk about it for, you know, let's at least, you know, can you keep it down to maybe 3-4 minutes, John?
Okay, let's try. So let's state the problem. Thin provisioning, we know it, we love it. You allocate, it's just-in-time provisioning. So if you give that DBA a terabyte volume and it only puts 10 megabytes on it, you only see 10 megabytes used.
Yep.
Problem is every file system out there, NTFS, EXT4, always writes into free space. And so even though that 10 megabyte log file just writes in a circle all day, eventually you'll see it start slowly using that entire, terabyte. That VMDK just starts growing and it never shrinks, even if you delete things. So what unmap and trim are is a way for the operating system and the file system to signal to the VMware layer that, hey, I don't need this block anymore. This space, those blocks, they're dead to me. And then that enables the actual backend vSAN to go shrink the VMDK and shrink the corresponding object and components behind it and reclaim your space. Get your petabytes back, everybody. I've talked to large customers who they've got a petabyte missing. And this has been this silent killer of free space in the storage industry that we've all just avoided eye contact with for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Because using it was complicated. It had huge overheads. If you go back to the 5.0 days, it's been a problem, but it's here for vSAN. Go check out the recording of my session at VMworld. I'm sure we'll have a follow-up podcast. And then the Space Efficiencies Guide on Storage Hub has the guidance on how to turn this on and the operating system specific things you need to consider.
Yeah, that was going to be my one question about this is, are we talking about all operating systems that this supports, or?
It's pretty much modern at this point.
Sure.
Windows 8 or 8.1 is when it came in. So that's going to map to Windows Server 2012 on. Linux kernel has had it since 2.64 or something, I think. It's been around quite a while. So
not my XP, not my XP machines.
So actually, if you do have XP and you really are that horrible of a human being, still be running it. Pete, war criminal Fletcher here. So if you are running an ancient version, there actually was a fling released. If you go to VMware Labs, there was a fling that would inject either trim or unmap, or I forget which one. Trim being the ATA command, unmap being the SCSI command. It would actually inject them even on an OS that didn't properly support it to do reclaim. So there was a third party used to make some tooling for that. So can you tell that I can fill an entire episode on the mysteries of unmap and obscure trivia?
Yeah, between you and Cody, forget about it.
So I will say that when we found out that trim unmap was going to land in 6.7 update 1, never have I seen so much passion by a coworker than Mr. John Nicholson on this one feature.
Well, so it goes.
We all knew who was going to be doing the majority of work on that.
So it goes back, though, to my days as a storage admin, is you have to look at what you did to get that space back beforehand. You would sit there and you would write zeros. So you'd have to blast all this traffic over the storage network and your disks. If your array didn't do inline zero detection, you then would have to do a storage vMotion, and you had to make sure to invoke the legacy slow data mover, so you couldn't use VAI. I mean, it really felt like having to, stand on the hood of a moving car while juggling. And I called it storage Jenga, because you're just like, okay, I can reclaim at the array level, but I've got to write zeros, and then I have to move the LUN to a different RAID group. I don't know why, and that's going to toast 80% of my performance. I mean, it was like juggling on a moving car, and the storage Jenga's over, guys. We got automatic unmap, and it's good. So
John, you also bring up a really good point there in that when we have less data, or what is seen as less data, that's also less data that moves through the destager. So that's something that we'll see some performance improvements with the actual destager within vSAN for these VMs that are running trim unmap.
Yeah, so you've got the destage improvements. You also have, if you have cache pages that were basically being held, particularly on hybrid vSAN, where you've got the read and the cache tier, it's going to purge that out. So why cache data that's never going to be called up? Because it doesn't exist in the guest OS anymore. So yeah, there's now note, if you are doing a bunch of purges from the capacity tier, there is metadata overhead for that. I will acknowledge there is overhead for this, but there are cases where you're right. It can improve performance in theory.
Nice, nice, nice. All right, well, one more I have, and John, if you've got more after this, we can certainly talk. But the other one, Pete, I wanted to talk to before we close out is, I know there have been some improved guidance on health checks and recommendations. And I think we talked a little bit about that already, but I know there were some extra things that came out with vSAN 6.7 update 1 that I think are worth mentioning. So is there anything you want to share there?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I think that we've all noticed within the recent versions of vSAN is that there's just been this constant series of improvements for our health check functionality. Yep. And that has not stopped with update one here. So with update one, we've introduced the ability to check and validate against storage controllers that have multiple versions of approved firmware. In the past, it sort of used to look at a single version, and then if it didn't match up with that, it may throw a false positive. Now that's no longer the case. So, you know, and again, we're really focusing on making sure that we reduce those, any sort of a false positive there. The other feature that we have is the ability to silence health checks right within the UI. This was something that could be done within the command line previously, but we all know in those cases, there may be a cluster that may have an issue or may use some hardware. It's a test cluster. We know that there's some hardware that doesn't meet supportability on an HCL or something of that nature, that we can silence that health check just right within the UI. And then finally, we also have the ability to do a little bit of a cleanup right within the UI.
Yes.
For swap objects that were orphaned or what would be seen as inaccessible swap objects. This is nice because what we found was that there were some cases where a swap object that was orphaned from a VM that no longer lives there
right.
may cause the ability for you to have difficulties entering a host into maintenance mode and doing some of the decommissioning activities that may need to be performed. Now that can be done right within the UI, and it's really easy now.
I like it. Yeah, that certainly helps you clean it up and helps you get into maintenance mode quicker, which is very important. So yeah, I thought some of the changes they made in the health checks were definitely worth mentioning. All right, John, any other questions? What else are we missing on this 6.7.U1? And of course, I'm going to add to the show notes a link to the sessions that we presented on this, as well as some of the blog posts that came out. But anything else that we need to cover on this podcast before we close out?
No, there's a lot of other good stuff there, but just go read the What's New document. I mean, there's little things like MTU capabilities and stretch clusters. There's stuff that people who have already deployed it may be like, that was kind of annoying. It's like, oh, that's definitely completely changed. But no, I think we got, I don't know, we didn't get the 4-hour, you know, space opera that I was hoping about, you know, SCSI. that will come, so.
Pete, one more thing then before we leave. I know that I thought it was exciting that this is not something I've seen VMware do a lot, but they announced some upcoming beta programs that people can get involved with. And I think some of the topics that they're going to be working on, I think for vSAN customers is going to be pretty exciting. Any of those stand out to you?
Yeah, certainly. I think, and for many of us that had sessions, we would get a lot of questions about, hey, when might there be the possibility of having some native data protection within vSAN? And so there is a new beta program that is going to be focusing on some ideas that we're thinking about in that space, as well as the ability to have native file services. And
yes,
that was also another beta program announced right there at VMworld. And then finally, we also had some interesting news and a new beta program around cloud native storage. And so with all three of those, that was, I think, generated a lot of excitement from our user base, because those were all right in the area that they had a need. And then to help them understand that, yeah, we were listening and we have some ideas around moving forward with some solutions there.
Yeah, I have to be honest. I was pretty surprised that file services wasn't already in vSAN. I think it's exciting that it's now becoming a reality and that folks can actually participate in that beta. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you know, when we look at these updates, I think one of the things that we need to keep in mind is that we know that for any sort of a system, let's just say a storage system, that it can't just be about all performance or all ease of use. It really has to be a nice blend of everything. And so when we look at the various improvements that we've made over the past several versions, you can sort of see that approach that we've been taking, where we focus on improving as much as we can around the operational side of things, but yet also improving the performance of vSAN. And then finally, looking at various data services that may be needed as well. And so I think the combination of what we've seen land in 6.7 update one, as well as the new beta programs, really reflect that approach.
I like it. I like it. Well said. Well said.
I think it's definitely time we stop, because we need to conserve some peat for future generations. We've definitely drained a lot of great information, but
oh yeah. Absolutely. Well, Pete, I want to thank you for joining us on this episode. And I think 6.7 was an amazing release. 6.7 update 1 just makes it even better. I'm really impressed with the cadence. VMware announced at VMworld, we have now 15,000 plus customers. And it seems like these releases are coming out more frequent. And I'm excited to have you come on and talk about this one with us. So thanks for joining us, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I look forward to the next release and the next time I'm on the show.
Yes, sir. John, anything else before we take off? No. He's just giving me the John. This is a podcast. He's shaking his head. No, it's like I have to give remedial training to everybody. This is audio, John. Yes, just kidding. All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can follow us on Twitter @VertSpeaking and subscribe to the podcast on your podcast app of choice to include Spotify by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. A big thanks to Mr. Pete Keeler for joining us today and telling us all about vSAN 67U1. We're back next week, but until then, bye for now.
Well, in 6.7, sorry, voice cracked.
Well, let me tell you what happened.
Oh, boy.
Enough of this jibber jabber.